Parshas Bechukosai, coming around the bend for some of us. V'zacharti es brisi Yaakov, es brisi Yitzchak. This pasuk you can talk about for years. But in any event, we want to study a very strange Rashi and two commentaries on Rashi. Rashi says, Chamesha Makomos, five times in Tanakh, Nichtov Yaakov Mole. This is one time out of millions of times that the word Yaakov, the name Yaakov appears, but here Yaakov's name is written with an extra vav, Mole. And all told, we'll find this five times in Tanakh. Then, take a look at the name Eliyahu, which has a vav at the end, in almost every single time it appears. However, the name Eliyahu appears chaser, without a vav. Guess how many times? You guessed it, five times. So let's make a quick swap over here. Yaakov gets an extra vav five times. Eliyahu, instead it says Elia, gets gypped of a vav five times. Apparently Yaakov took the vav from Elio five times. Says Rashi, b'chamisha makomos, Yaakov notel os mishmo shel Elio. Now, why would a good guy like Yaakov take a vav from Elio? And not only once, but five times over. Rashi says, eravon, it's a collateral. If you owe me something, you have an obligation to fulfill. I don't know if you're going to live up to the obligation. So I take some sort of a collateral. Give me something, and you'll only get it back when you fulfill your obligation. What is Eliyahu's obligation that he must fulfill? Sheyavo v'yavaser geulas banav. Eliyahu will be the mavaser of the geula. He will be the harbinger and tell us about the geula. Now, the Mefarshim are a little bit confused about this Rashi. For example, in Mizrahi, says Lo Yadati Tam Lechamisha Makomos. If Yaakov needs some sort of eravon, a collateral, or, you know, some sort of guarantee from Elio, then shouldn't be sufficient that he takes one vav. No, that's not enough. So let him take two vavs. I mean, what's the significance of five vavs? And the Mizrahi offers the following approach. He says that there's halach of shvua. When you take a shvua, you take nikitas chefetz. You take a sefer Torah to your hand. A sefer Torah is made up of five chumashim. So the five vavs somehow symbolically represent the five chumashim. And here's where Yaakov forced Elio to take a shvua on a chumash, on the five chumashim. The Maral Miprag writes a super commentary on Rashi the Gurari. He's not happy with this Mizrahi. And he says, "Ein zetan, this is not an answer. Who's going to take this?" He says, "The kevon de notal os mishmo shel Elio le'iravon. If he took that vav of Elio, make it down to Elio. Lama yitzach shvua. Isn't it enough that he's holding on to the vav? Why does he need a strength, the extra shvua? And if he has a shvua, lama iravon. We never found a shvua plus an iravon. Many times we find in Tanakh" that somebody forces a shvua on someone else to live up to his commitment. It's very compelling, a shvua, but we never find a shvua plus an iravon. There are many times we find an iravon, but we never find the iravon strengthened by a shvua. So the language of the Maral is very telling. He says, "Im shvua kan, lama iravon kan. Im iravon kan, lama shvua kan." So the Maral offers another suggestion, and he wants to justify the number five times vav. And he says that the vav, if you take a look at your hand, just pick up your hand for a second. Everyone pick up their hand. Okay, thank you. And you'll see in front of your hand five vavs. And the vav is shaped like a finger. So now we know that the five vavs represent five fingers. Now, what's the significance of five fingers? So the Maral Miprag assumes that if I want to extract from you a commitment, I ask you for what's called a tkias kaf. You may know that here, about an hour from here in the Bursa, if you give someone a handshake, you know, wow, that could be worth millions in terms of diamonds. And that's called an halacha tkiyas kaf, which is also binding. The five vavs representing five fingers are the five fingers of a hand that was given by Elio to Yaakov. Yaakov's on the receiving end, and Elio is on the giving end. Elio is giving, he's extending his hand as a tkiyas kaf. Let's read the Maral inside. Yeshlomer kiyad no seni ravon no sin lo kaf yad. I'll prove to you that there are two kinds of commitments or security symbolic acts that jive, that overlap, and that is iravon plus tkiyas kaf. That's from a pasuk in Mishlei. It says in Mishlei, b'niyam eravto l'recha takato l'zar kapcha. In other words, there's both an iravon and a tkiyas kaf. Then the Maral goes on to explain his theory about the five etzbos of a hand that's extended, and they represent these five vavs. The vav is a finger, so you have five fingers that make up a hand. They were taken by Eliyahu. He takes off the vav, he gives him five fingers, five vavs, and this is a tkiyas kaf. To add a little icing to the cake, the Maral quotes a Mishnah in Masechta Olos, and the Mishnah says that in a hand you have 30 evarim. So if you multiply 5 times 6, you get the 30 limbs that make up a hand. You know, in today's medicine, even in surgery, there are so many different specialties. You know, every surgeon specializes in a certain type of surgery, but hand surgery is a very special, because the hand is made up of so many different parts. So of course, if you want to make millions of dollars, you know, and you're very good at surgery, so you work as a surgeon for a sports company, because, you know, people get hand injuries all the time. But many people who have trouble with their hands will go to a hand surgeon, and a hand surgeon knows that there are 30 limbs, 30 parts that make up a hand. So Yaakov takes the extended hand of Elio as an iravon, and that's a tkiyas kaf. It's got 6 times 5. It's the 5 times that he takes the letter vav, and the letter vav represents the number 6. Sachakol representing the 30 segments of a hand, and this is all a commitment on Elio's part that he will indeed come and be the mavaser hageula. Now, the obvious question: did Yaakov Avinu actually suspect Elio of not living up to his main calling? After all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we read it so often in the Haftorah, Hinei Anochi Shalech Lachem, what is the shlichus of Elio Anavi? And by the way, this pasuk itself at the end of Tanakh is one of the 5 cases where Yaakov takes the vav from Elio. I mean, this is the great shlichus, the calling or the mission of Elio HaNavi, that he should be the Mavaser HaGeula. So Yaakov Avinu is entertaining the idea, it's crossing his mind that Elio HaNavi will be negligent in fulfilling what is his real mission in life. That's Chazal say Elio Lo Mes. He's got to be there at the time of the Akhir Sayyamin in order to notify us about the Geula. What's going on over here? Now, if you happen to be familiar with the style of the Shvilei Pinchas, he very often, almost always, asks Akasha, puts it on the back burners, and then he goes on and on for pages on what seems like a totally different topic until he comes back to answer his original question. That's not so good for me, because I don't have, you know, what they call time management. I'm not very good at managing my time. So if they give me 45 minutes for a shiur, and I'm learning the Shvilei Pinchas, I very rarely get back to answer his original question. So people throw rotten apples at me. Okay, fine. But in any event, the kickoff of this shiur is going to be the insights of the Shem Mishmuel, the Sakhar Jova, son of the Avnei Nezer, regarding the letter Vav. And every letter, it seems, in the 32 letters of the alphabet has some sort of secret message or symbolism to it. And he quotes a Zohar on the pasuk v'nasatem li os emes. You may remember that Rachav requires of the two meraglim that came to visit her that they give her an os emes, and the Zohar identifies that os as the letter vav. And the language of the Zohar is my ihu os emes. What is the os for emes? Da es vav. S meaning os vav. The Shem Yishvul is going to try to support this Zohar from a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, but for our purposes, if I had a blackboard or a whiteboard, I would write on it vav equals emes. And that equation is going to take us throughout our study unit today. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah at the beginning tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is busy during 12 hours of daylight every day in the following breakup of time. The first hours, which is the first of quarter of the day, that's Shalosh Rishonos, is Yoshev V'Osek BaTorah. Now, I don't have time right now, but you realize that we need a real discussion about this. What does it mean that Hashem is Yoshev V'Osek BaTorah? Let's just say, in passing, and it really needs more study, there are two parts to Torah. There's what we call the Torah up in Shemayim, and there's Torah down on earth. And we've touched on this in the past, that you remember the Malachi Asharis, when Moshe comes up for the Torah, they claim the Torah for their own. That's what you call the Torah up in Shemayim. Now, the Malachim are not physical, not material. They don't have a body, so how do they fulfill the mitzvahs, maisios? But there's a Torah that belongs to the abstract worlds, to the infinite worlds. Those are, I guess you'd call, symbolic or conceptual dimensions of Torah. Okay, now Hashem is ready for the second section of His day. What does He do now? So according to Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Rav, Yoshev V'Don Es HaOlam Kulo, He's judging the world. Now this is going to have a tremendous impact on Rosh Hashanah, because if we assume that the judgment of Rosh Hashanah is a very unique judgment, then it's going to take place at the beginning of the fourth hour of the day. So let's say if daybreak is at 5 in the morning, which is more or less here in Israel at this time, I don't remember what it is in Canada, so if you add 3 hours, you're up to 8 o'clock, so that's when Hashem sits in judgment. And what happens is that Hashem, when He judges the world, He doesn't come to too many great conclusions. So the final outcome is not exciting. It's Roah Shenischayev HaOlam Kloya, you know, fingers down, as we'd say, thumbs down. So Hashem has no choice. If He wants to keep the world going, He's Omed Mikisei Adin V'Yoshev Al Kisei Rachamim. So the special time during the course of the day to get HaKadosh Baruch Hu to, in a sense, transfer His presence from the Kisei Adin and sit on the Kisei of Rachamim is going to be during this period of time, the second set of 3 hours. Then we get to the Shlishis, and at this point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through His Rachamim, is going to keep the world going, which means He's going to penetrate into the world a certain power of Zon. Zon HaSa'ola means He's going to give life to the world. Mikarnei Re'emim HaBeitzei Kinim, from the greatest, largest beings that roam the earth to the smallest creatures. And then finally, we get to the last quarter of the day, and that's called Yoshev U'Mesachek Im Livyosam. Okay, that really belongs to the mystical realm. Now, where does this Gemara show up in Psak Halacha? It's not just a theoretical Gemara. The Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim, in the laws of Rosh Hashanah, encourages us on Rosh Hashanah to pray Tfilas Musaf, which has the most powerful power of bringing Kapara, in the second set of 3 hours. In other words, what we want to do is we want to synchronize our Tfilah, our Bakoshas Mechila and Bakoshas Rachamim with the hours of Rachamim. And the hours of Rachamim begin after the third hour, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu stands from his Kisei Adin and sits in his Kisei Rachamim. It's not a good idea to pray Musaf during the first 3 hours of the day. So if you do a Vasikin job on Rosh Hashanah, the Shulchan Aruch would encourage you to wait with Musaf and delay it until Lomar Zagin 8 a.m. or 9 a.m., whenever it is that we get into that next period of time. Now, during the first 3 hours, let's say from 5 to 8 or 6 to 9, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is dedicated to Din. And that's not a good time for asking for Rachamim. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu dedicated to Din? Because this is the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is dedicated to Osek B'Torah. Torah, which is MS, is the same as Din. So now, if we go back to our blackboard or whiteboard, right, and we had an equation between Vav and MS, now we can add another equal sign, and that's Torah. Because Torah is called Emes. A very famous pasuk in Mishlei, which Rambam quotes in the Talmud Torah, Emes Knei. And that's a reference, a symbolic reference to the Torah. So there's no room for Rachamim, or what we call Lifnim Mishus Adin, during the time which Hashem is dedicated to Torah. Because Torah is Emes, and Emes is Din. No flexibility. Hashem is not going to stave off a punishment. There's no clemency. There's simply judgment. Therefore, let's wait until after this period of MS, post the first 3 hours. Din is behind us. Now Hashem is sitting on the Kisei Rachamim. Torah has ended. And now there's Rachamim. That's when we should begin to pray the most powerful prayer of Rosh Hashanah, namely Musaf. Now, we find in a pasuk in Tillim, the way Rashi interprets it, that Eliyahu HaNavi is to be identified with Emes. So now we're coming a little bit closer to our original question about why Yaakov Avinu needs an Iravon from Eliyahu HaNavi that he will be in the Vasar HaGeulah. That's because Eliyahu represents Emes. On the pasuk in Tehillim, Shlach Orchav Amitecha, Rashi says that this is a reference to Eliyahu HaNavi. The Melech HaMashiach is called Orcha, the light of Mashiach. And that's based on a pasuk in Tehillim called Arachti Ner LeMashiachai. Eliyahu HaNavi is represented by the word Amitecha by Emes. He is considered the Navi of Emes. And if you take a look in Zmiros, I don't know if anybody says these Zmiros on Motzi Shabbos, it says, Uparachlo Isha Emes, referring to Eliyahu HaNavi, he's called the Isha Emes. So the Shem Yishmuel now wants to explain why is it that Yaakov Avinu is very nervous about Eliyahu. Maybe Eliyahu will never fulfill his mission. Not because Eliyahu is lazy, not because Chas V'Shalom ignores his responsibility, but because there'll never be a time, Chas V'Shalom, in the future days for Geula, because Geula could only come about through Eliyahu's mission, and Eliyahu personifies Emes. Well, are we, the people of Israel, ra'ui, are we fit for Geula? Well, it all depends. If you're going to take it from the perspective of Midas HaDin, it doesn't look like we're really ready for Geula. I don't even know if we can get a government together. But if you talk about Din, we're in trouble. You know, how do we get Eliyahu on board over here? Yeah, Eliyahu, it's time for the Geula. What do you mean it's time for the Geula? Go back to sleep. Don't bother me. I represent the Vav of MS. And if I represent MS, my friends, you don't have a chance in a million. And therefore, says the Shem Yishmuel, Shalote Midas MS Etzel B'Shlemus. Yaakov Avinu wants to, you know, just like the Malach Soros Shalesov, you know, tries to injure Yaakov Avinu so he shouldn't reach Shlemus. Yaakov Avinu wants to injure, so to speak, Eliyahu and take some of his limbs. Take his vavs away. And why? Because Eliyahu, in its full form, in his shleimus, represents Emes. And emes is antithetical to gulas Yisrael. Gulas Yisrael cannot come through midas adin. It can only come through midas harachamim. We'll never be zocher to absolute emes of geula. We need lifnim ishuras adin. So Eliyahu, you better forfeit some of your emes. If you go with complete, total, absolute emes, you'll never fulfill your obligation. You'll never be the mevasar geula. Give up a little bit on your emes. You know, this reminds us of the sugya in Bava, the famous sugya in Ksubas Yud Zayin about Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. You know, Beit Shammai represented emes. There was no compromise for Beit Shammai. Ketzad meragdim ifnei akala, kala kamot shehi. So Rashi, the Tosa says, you know, find something to praise her with. She has nice hands. Talk about her nice hands, you know. What does it mean if you say about the kala she has nice hands? You know the implication. So Beit Hillel says, get off your high horse. Listen, Beit Shammai, there's no possibility of pure emes. You have to compromise a little bit on emes. So that compromise requires a tkias kaf, it requires an iravon, and Yaakov takes away from the vav, which vav represents emes, and he demands of Eliyahu HaNavi to give up a little bit on the shleimus of his midas ad-din in order that Eliyahu will be able to play that role and facilitate the geula by being the mevaser, and that's going to be lifnim mishuras ad-din. Now it's really interesting because Yaakov takes that vav from Eliyahu. Now we said vav means emes. In a certain sense, Yaakov is now taking into his very being the midah of vav, the midah of emes. Hence the pasuk at the end of Tanakh, titein emes liYaakov. So Yaakov not only has his own natural emes, but he also has an emes that's bolstered by at least one percentage, maybe I would say a high percentage, of Eliyahu's midas emes. So Yaakov has his own vav, and now he has five vavs that he takes from Eliyahu. So Yaakov is really the personification of emes. Titein emes liYaakov. So Yaakov is holding on to the midah of emes. He's taking it away from Eliyahu, the mevaser ha-geula, and that facilitates the ultimate geula, but he needs an absolute commitment from Eliyahu that he's willing to forego or compromise, if you will, a little bit on his midah of emes. By the way, does anybody know, by chance, you know, those of you who do Daf Yomi, which Daf in Shas deals with coming off of emes, meaning come down a little bit and make a compromise? It's Daf Vav in Masechta Sanhedrin. That's the sugya of pshara, of mediation. That's my own remez over here. Anyway, so Yaakov Avinu takes a tkias kaf from Eliyahu, and this is going to bring about an early geula based on the midah of rachamim, by taking away some of the din. Now it's very interesting, when a person stretches out his arm, his hand, for a handshake, a tkias kaf, which hand does he extend? His right hand or his left? I don't know, we may have some lefties in the audience, but I think the answer is always the right hand, is it not? I mean, maybe two lefties, I don't know exactly, but generally speaking, it's the right hand. The right hand always represents the midah of chesed. The left hand always represents the midah of din. So in this context, what Eliyahu is doing, according to the Maharal Miprag, by extending his right hand, he is giving chesed. He is offering a commitment for chesed. He's keeping his left hand to himself, which is representative symbolically of midas ha-din. Because Yaakov's purpose in the tkias kaf is to exact a promise from Eliyahu for a dedication to the midah of chesed, of rachamim and lifnim ishuras ha-din, he needs therefore the right hand. Now, we can add to this a little bit of a parperes, you know, a little bit of extra spice on the top, icing on the top of the cake. Because we take a look at the five places in Tanakh where Eliyahu's name is written without a vav. So the first time it appears in Tanakh as Eliyahu without the vav is in Sefer Micha. And there, if you take a look, it says, and here we're turning to page 2 if you have the text, U'malach Hashem, Diber El Eliyahu, or Elia. In the second place, it says Vayelech Elia. In the third, Elia Atishbi, meaning Elio Atishbi. Again, there'll be a kubu, it's always under the hay, so the vocalization will always be the same. It's the kri and the ksiv. The ksiv is without a vav, but the kri is with a vav. And then we find a pasuk, number four, Vayan Elia Vayadaber Aleim. Now, finally, the last pasuk is the one that we discussed earlier. Hinei Anochi Shalech Lachem Es Elio Anavi, and there Elio is written without a vav. Now, if this pasuk is discussing HaKadosh Baruch Hu sending Elio as the shliach to prepare for the geula, then this is the pasuk that completes the set of five times that Elio Anavi's name is written with an Elio without a vav. And here's where Yaakov Avinu needs that vav as a commitment from Elio, with a tkias kaf of five etzbos, five times six, five times the number of vav, that he, Elio, will play his role and will utilize and express a midah of chesed. So therefore, Hinei Anochi Sholeach Lachem Es Elio Anavi, without a vav, this is the completion of the set. This is the tkias kaf that completes the five fingers of the hand. And then it says, Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem Agadol Vanora. What's the emphasis here on Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem? And the answer is that the Lifnei means before Midas Hadin. Give me your Midas HaRachmim and Chesed before the Midas HaDin. Ve'heshiv lev avos al bonav lev bonav al avosam. Even if we're not ready at this time, Elio, we need you to play a role when there is a, we call it a generation gap. There's a generation gap between the avos and bonin. And I think, Ribosai, you may remember that we once discussed the Pachad Yitzchak about Amalek, and he says that Amalek, their very force to undermine Geula is to present and penetrate a wedge between one generation and the other. That wedge that separates the fathers from the sons, etc., etc., is antithetical to Geula. So we need a Veheshiv Levavos, but we need to bring about a situation where there could be a Geula. And mitzad Midas Adin, Midas Ahemis, from the Vav, it's impossible. We need you, therefore, Lifnei Bo Yom HaGadol, Veheshiv Levavos. You have to create a situation in which Klal Yisrael will be ready for Geula. You have to arouse them and inspire them to do tshuva. And that's going to be Veheshiv Levavos Al Bonin. And that's what we're waiting for. This is the Elio, the Besora that we're waiting for with bated breath. Are you able to hear me, by the way? Oh, okay. I just want to make sure. Because I'm screaming my head off, and I just want to make sure you can hear me. All right. So now, we mentioned that the Shem Yishmuel holds that Yaakov Inu takes from Elio Anovi a Mashkon. The Mashkon is the letter Vav times 5. The number, the letter represents MS. And basically that's a commitment from Eliyahu that he should not wait till the Midas HaDin of MS to bring about the Geula, but rather he should employ the Midah of Chesed. But let's ask the following question. The Shem Yishmuel began with the equation between Vav and Emes, and between Torah and Emes. And during the first 3 hours of the day, in God's daily schedule, he's dedicated to Torah, he's dedicated to Emes. There's no room for Lifnim Mishur Sadin. But Yaakov Avinu is the meat of Emes, Titen Emes LiYaakov, and yet the Zohar says that Yaakov represents the Midah of Rachamim, otherwise known as Tiferes. How do we put this all together? On the one hand, we're saying that MS means strict justice. There's no flexibility, no compromise. There's no room for Rachamim, Lifnim Mishur Hadin. On the other hand, we say that Yaakov is the personification of Midas Emes. He's even strengthened by the five extra vavs. And yet Yaakov Avinu represents the Midah of Tiferes, the Midah of Rachamim. And this is very profound in the writings of the Arizal and his followers, his disciples, that kol ha mefarshim iskimu, that the word emes is a remez to Tiferes. And that's Yaakov Avinu. Now Tiferes is meant to be Rachamim. Rachamim means an integration of Chesed and Din. So you've got Avram on top, that's Chesed. You've got Yitzchak, that's Din. And then you have Yaakov, who's an integration of these two Midos in a perfect form. And that is Tiferes. So, you know, Rabbi Feigerman was very happy about this. Okay, maybe now he's emeritus, but you know, it's a perfect integration of Chesed and Rachamim, of Chesed and Din, and this is Yaakov Avinu. So instead of calling it Beis Yaakov, you call it Beis Tiferes or Tiferes, because Yaakov is Tiferes, and that makes a lot of sense because. Titan Emes, well, it makes more sense until we see Titan Emes Yaakov, because if Emes is identified as Din, you know, we're back to the meat of Yitzchak Avinu. That's Gvura or Din, but Yaakov is the admixture of Rachamim and Chesed with Din, hence Yaakov is the Merkava of the meat of Tiferes. So how do we understand that Yaakov Avinu represents Tiferes? And Tiferes is the meat of Rachamim, and that's meant to be some sort of symbol of Emes. Well, we just finished saying that Emes doesn't tolerate Lifnim Mishus Adin. There's no room for Rachamim. Don't even pray to Hashem during those first 3 hours. You're not going to. It's not going to cut the mustard. And the Zohar points out that when it says in the pasuk Yaakov Ish Tam Yoshev Oholim, it means that Yaakov represents the personification of the Mid of Tiferes, which is an integration of Chesed and Din. So when it says Yoshev Oholim, the plural of the word Oholim in Yaakov's context is the integration of the Oel of Avram, which is Chesed, with the Oel of Yitzhak, which is Din, and that's going to generate Rachamim. And yet, the Zohar identifies this Rachamim with Emes. Tiferes of Yaakov is Titein Emes Li Yaakov. How does this all jive? Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum V'chan. God is the merciful God. He's the Kel Racham. So if Yaakov Avinu represents Rachamim or Tiferes, how can you identify him with Emes, which has no toleration whatsoever, no tolerance for Lifnim Mishus Adin? In fact, when a person ever experiences tragedy, he makes Baruch Dayan or Emes. Emes meaning, this is the Midah of Dayan. Dayan means Din. And again, if in the first 3 hours of the day, HaKadosh Baruch is dedicating himself to Torah, and therefore there's no possibility of Lifnim Mishus HaDin, and only afterwards when he finishes Torah and he gets to the level of Din, then he admixtures the Rachamim in the second set of Gimel Shos. Well, that doesn't make any sense because Yaakov represents Torah. Torah represents Emes. And yet Yaakov at the same time personifies the Midah of Racham. So to try to put all this together, we're going to study a Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah. And we hinted at this Medrash earlier, but there's more to this Medrash than just the debate about the Torah. There's also a Medrash about the debate about creation of man. Man is not part of this debate. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is planning, or at least contemplating, the possibility of creating man. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to the Malachim, and he says, Nasa Adam, shall we make man? You know, Rabbi Chorsky, Professor Chorsky, has a book, Let Us Make Man. In this Medrash, we have to say, Let Us Make Man? With a question mark, an inflection at the end. So what happens is, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu consults with the Malachim, they split up into groups. Some say, yes, make man. Some say, no, make man. It's not worth it. Nasu Malachi Asharis Kitim Kitim V'Chaburos Chaburos. Mehem Omrim Al Yivram. Mehem Omrim Yivram. Okay. Now, who
depends on which side. So certain malachim represent what we call chesed and tzedek, respectively. I mean, two different groups. But on the other side, there's emes and shalom. And the pasuk in Tehillim indicates that there's a battle here between chesed and emes, and an equal battle between tzedek and shalom. Chesed says, go ahead and create man. Man is a gomel chasodin. Emes says, don't create man. He's full of sheker. Tzedek says, create man. He does tzedek. He does tztokos. Shalom says, don't create man. He's full of ktata. No room for compromise. Even if it means everything's going to fall, I will not compromise. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? The major says he takes emes, and he throws him down to the earth. Hence, the pasuk in Tanakh in Daniel, Vatishlach emes arza. At that point, Amru malachi ashar tzlifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribon olamin, Mata mevazeh, you're taking emes and you're humiliating emes. Who is emes? You are emes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You represent emes. Emes is the chosem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what you're doing is an act of masochism, so to speak. You are taking your chosem, your seal, and you're humiliating it by throwing it down to the ground. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? Tale emes menorets. Let emes come back. And that's the pasuk, emes me eretz tismach. So we have a two psukim. One in Sefer Daniel says, Vatishlach emes arza. We have another pasuk in Tehillim, emes me eretz tismach. And the reconciliation of these two is that God initially takes emes, thrusts him down to the ground. Then he brings emes back, and emes surfaces once again. So the Mefarshim say, I don't understand. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks to the Malachim and he says, Nasa Adam Mitzalmenu Kidmusein. Rashi says that this is the Midah Anava, the great humility of God. Instead of God making the decision on his own, he consults with those who are lesser than him. He's a gadol shenimlach v'notel rishus min hakatan. So if this be the case, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to get a consultation, he wants to get the advice of, in this case, the meat of Emes, and Emes expressed its honest-to-goodness view about man, man is full of sheker, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu take Emes and throw him down to the ground? You know, it's very strange. I ask you a question, I'm consulting with you, and then I insult you because you gave me the wrong answer. So why did you ask me to begin with? So in order to try to understand this, we're going to take a look at another Rashi. On the Gemara that says in Shabbos Chosomo Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu Emes, Rashi says, Emtzais li'osios v'rishon li'achron. Emes is made up of three letters. The first letter of the alphabet, the last, and the middle letter. Now again, how do you get mem in the middle letter of the alphabet? What you have to do here is you have to add what's called mansapach. You have to add the osios, the longer osios as we call them. And when you add the longer osios, mem, nun, Sadi, Pei, Chof, each of which has an osophis. So then, Mem turns out to be in the middle of the alphabet. Now, he's got a whole chart here, if you're interested, on the bottom left of page 2, in which he works this out for you. And he shows you how, by adding these six letters, I'm sorry, these five letters, my mistake, you end up with 22 plus 5 is 27, and Mem turns out to be letter number 13, which is the exact middle letter, because you'll have 12 letters on one side of the equation, another 12 on the other, and then you'll end up with the 13th letter in the middle. 24, 25. Wait, it's not working out for me. Well, where did I mess up? Just give me a second. Okay, David, I hear what you say. Just give me one second. I'm sorry if I don't get it myself. Just one second. What do we have? We have 13 Oh yeah, 13 and 13 is 26. So we're adding 5 to 2 is 27. Got it. Now I got it. Okay. So we're going to have, Mem is going to be the 14th letter of the alphabet, which is the exact middle because you've had 13 on one side, another 13 on the other, all told 27 letters because we're adding 5 to 22. All right? Is that good? David, you want to correct my mathematics? I was never good at mathematics.
I was just going to say the 14th letter, that's all.
Oh, okay, good. Excellent. Okay. No, I'll tell you the truth, David. Whenever I get to math, I got to figure it out myself. If I don't figure it out myself, this is, by the way, if you've ever heard of a Greek philosopher named Socrates. So Socrates believes that there's no way of teaching a person math. All you can do in math is you can help him along, but he always has to figure it out himself. Anyway, going on here, let's take a look at the Mishnah in the second parak of Avos. Al tadin es chavercha ad shetagia l'mkoma. Says the Bar Tanura, im ra'isa chavercha sheba lidei nisayon v'nichshal, your friend hit up against some sort of impediment, a barrier, and he fell. Al tadinei l'chova, don't judge him wrongly. How do you know how you would do in the same kind of predicament? Now, one of the commentaries, more of a contemporary kind of commentary on Avos, is the Sfas Emes. And the Sfas Emes, in his commentary on Avos, says the following. And here we're turning to page 3. Al todin es chavercha ad shetagil imkomo klomar. No two people are exactly the same. They'll never be in the same identical crisis or challenge. So yefshal agil yola, and therefore al tadin chavercha klal. Not exactly like the Bar Tanura, but sort of a funny kind of twist on the Bar Tanura. The Bar Tanura says, wait till you get into that situation, and you'll see how you do. The Sfas Emes says, what the Mishnah is telling you is a flat, absolute, al tadin es chavercha, because you'll never get into a situation. Even if you'll think that you were challenged by the same challenge, no. Every single person has his own personality, his own psyche, and his own challenges. And if this be the case, we begin to understand what does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges the world. He's called Melech HaMishpat, right? That's how we say it during the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. God created man. God is the only being who could understand man, who could really penetrate into the innards and the psyche of man and know exactly what each individual is. Therefore, it's only He who can judge man. Only He is Magia L'mkomo. And that's what David says in Tehillim, Mishamayim Mibit Hashem, Ra es kol b'nei Adam. He says, Machon l'shifto hashkiach el kol yoshvei ha'aretz. Why? How? Hayotzer yachad libam, God created man. Hamevin es kol ma'aseim, therefore He understands man. Hu yada yitzreinu, and therefore He, and only He with a capital H, He can judge man. Ani Hashem choker lev, says Yirmiyahu Anovi. Bochein kloyos, laseis leish kidrachov kipri malolov. So let's now see what the name Emes is all about. We said that Rashi in Chosom Shal Koshbo Emes means it represents the Aleph, first letter of the alphabet, the Tav, the last, and the Mem, right in the middle of the alphabet, the 14th letter. The Tzaddikim are called Aleph. So now we have to add to our whiteboard another equation. Aleph equals the Tzaddikim. Tav represents the Rishayim. The Tzaddikim have total control over themselves. Yetzer Tov, Shov Tov. Rishayim are totally in the hands of the clutches of the Yetzer Ra. So we have white and we have black. In the middle, we have the Beinonim. Zevezeh Shoftam. That's the Mem of Emes. Now, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges the world, He's got three Svarim open in front of them. One for the Rishoyim, one for the Tzaddikim, and one for the Beinonim. So what does it mean when we say that Chosamo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu MS is a klal, is an absolute integration, a matrix that made up of three letters, Aleph, Mem, Tav? It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to judge each person by where he belongs, by what group he's part of. Is he part of the Aleph group, the Tav group, or the Mem group? The Tav group is the toughest group. And the Beinonim will be judged within the context of a Beinonim. The Tzaddik will be judged on his level. He's expected to be the Aleph Jew. And so forth and so on. So we have the MS of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his Chosam, which is his din, his ability to judge man, because he knows man. He's Bochem Klayus V'Lev. And he knows how to judge a person within relative to his madrega. So those who are tzaddikim with the aleph, etc., etc. If this be the case, then we understand why the Gemara in Yevamo says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very careful about the tzaddikim, and it's a very meticulous, fine judgment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is medadek kechut ha-sayro with the tzaddikim u'svivav nisara ma'od. Because according to the great Madrega of the Tzaddik, he's an Aleph Jew. The standards of the bar is very high. He has to live up to that standard. On the other hand, when we get down to the Beinoni, that's already Mem, that's a different standard. And down to the Rishonim is a whole different standard. In each case, it's a sliding relative judgment because it's the person themselves. It's an individual. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mishamayim Hibit Uras Kol B'nei Adam. Each individual. So therefore, what we say is that God's judgment is never MS in its totality. It's never all the Aleph, Mem, and Tav together as one. It cannot be so. It's always going to be relative to the person. And therefore, he says, since Hashem recognizes the nature of the individual, Hu Yada Yitzreinu, he becomes a Marich Af. He becomes long-winded, waiting for tshuva, because he realizes that man is facing his challenges that are relative to his situation in life. To the extent God is willing to wait for man, to the extent in which HaMakadosh is Yishal Menashe Nitzadik Afilu Rosh HaGomer Kudeshe Mehir Tshuva B'dayto, maybe at that moment he's doing tshuva. And a Rosha, because he's on a shiflus, he's on a lower madrega, he might become a tzaddik immediately. So the man is a Rosha Gomor, and we're afraid of his Kedusha when he says Al Menashe Nitzadik, because maybe relative to him and his challenge in life, his station of life, he can do tshuva with one hira tshuva and immediately become a tzaddik. For him, to do tshuva would be tzidkus. Imagine a person who's dug himself into a pit and there's no way out. He constantly refuses any sort of compromise. And he won't budge. Even if the chief rabbi would come to see him, even if the prime minister would come to see him, he will not budge. Because every last yeshiva bacha has to go to the army. So there's no budging. For that person to do a hira tshuva, I would tell you now he could become a tzaddik in a second. Because Rishayim can become tzaddikim with one hira tshuva. If only they'll have a hira tshuva. But it's got to be a sincere hira tshuva. In any event, we begin to understand now why HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes emes and he's mashlich emes artsa. Because emes has a shlemus when it's all together, the aleph, the mem, and the tav, doesn't tolerate this theory of relativity that each person has to be judged as he is. We begin to understand why emes disclaims the creation of man, objects to the creation of man, al yivra Adam, because Adam is kulo shkarim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the other hand, is Chosomo Emes. But the Chosomo of Emes is different than the Mida of Emes. The Chosomo of Emes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Aleph, separated from Mem, separated from Tav, with the relativity theory. The Emes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Emes of Al Todis Chaver Chach Tagielim Komo. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes Emes and he throws him down to the ground. He breaks up Emes into its various parts. And then he brings Emes up from the Aretz. This beautiful Chosem Shelcha. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, right, Tale Emes min Aretz. And what it means is that Emes can join us in Shamayim, and Emes has its place up in Shamayim, but not in Aretz, because Emes in Aretz is absolutely zero tolerance, because it's absolute Emes without breaking it up into the relativity theory of the Aleph, Mem, and Tav. Why does Yaakov Avinu then take from Eliyahu the letter Vav? And here I'm on page 4 if you have it. What happens is that Yaakov Avinu is afraid that Eliyahu will not be the Vassar of Geula. Because what kind of Vav is the Vav of the Emes of Eliyahu Hanavi? If left alone, the Vav is Emes of the Mid of Emes, which represents total, absolute truth, no flexibility whatsoever. What do your actions look like? I'm not going to take into consideration that you're a Rosh and you dug yourself into a spot. Who is Eliyahu HaNavi? Throughout history, he's Kano Kinisi Lashem Elokai Tzvakos. He doesn't tolerate any sort of deviation. He's going to be a Makatreg on Kal Yisrael. That's going to slow up the process of Geula. Yaakov Avinu has a different meat of Emes. Titein Emes LiYaakov. Yaakov Avinu represents Din, but Din together with Chesed. That's called the meat of Tiferes. Yaakov represents the kind of a Din that tolerates flexibility and compromise. And therefore, Yaakov Avinu, before his death, bestows the bracha on Shiftei Yisrael Shnei Masar. Vayivarach Osam Ish Ish Kibirchaso Berech Osam. Yaakov represents the Emes of Chosamu Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Emes of Al Todinis Chaverchach Tagilim Komo Ish Ki Ish Kibirchaso. And therefore Yaakov, when he has this vision, almost a confrontation with Eliyahu HaNavi, who's meant to be the Mavasar Geula according to Eliyahu's Emes, Yaakov is very scared. He realizes that Emes, in the case of Eliyahu, has no element of Tiferes in it. It's uncompromising, unyielding. And therefore, if this Emes is going to be applied to Klal Yisrael, Hashem knows, and Yaakov represents Hashem here, that there's no way that that Klal Yisrael could live up to this Madrega of Emes that's personified by Eliyahu HaNavi. So Yaakov becomes a smart aleck. He is really an ischakim. What's the chachma of Yaakov? He's going to take from Eliyahu the Os Vav, which represents the absolute Emes. And he's going to take it as a mashkon. He's going to add it to his name. And now Yaakov becomes Yaakov with a vav. So that now when we judge Klal Yisrael, it's going to be judged from the perspective of the Emes of Yaakov, which is a relativity theory in which we can be a little bit softer with those who are more challenged in life. With those who unfortunately have not had the strength to overcome the Yetzer Hara in many different ways and in many different forms. It's the Yaakov Avinu with the Vav that is now Mevarech the Shvatim according to Yaakov's Mid of Emes, namely the Emes of Tiferes, the Emes that has the admixture of Rachamim to it, the Emes that's relative to each individual, the Emes of Beis Hillel and not the Emes of Beis Shammai. And therefore we begin to understand the Maral that Yaakov takes the letter Vav 5 times for the name of Eliyahu. He wants to have a Tkiyas Kaf with the 5 etzbos, each etzba representing a Vav of Eliyahu's right hand. And what he's doing with the Tzchias Kaf is he's guaranteeing the ultimate Geula of Yisrael with the Midah, the right hand, the Midah of Chesed, not with the left hand pure Din. And that allows for the possibility of the Midah of Yaakov of Tiferes, which is both Din and Chesed together, that now there's going to be a Geula because HaKadosh Baruch Hu will judge the people from the perspective of the Midah of Tiferes, which has Chesed to it.
Let me read to you some important lines as a postscript. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shofet Kol Echad Mi Yisrael Lefi Erko Umadregoso. This is the relativity theory that we spoke about in God's judgment. Echel Me'at Tzadikim Sheim B'chinas Os Aleph Shel Emes Hemsheich B'beinunim Sheim B'chinas Os Mem Shel Emes V'kola B'rashoim Sheim B'chinas Os Tav Shel Emes. V'chein kol shar Yisrael shem v'chinos shar osios shal aleph beis hamafuzoros bein gimel osios emes. So the letters in between the aleph and the mem and the mem and the tav represent the rest of Klal Yisrael, each lefi madrigoso. Lefamim hem krovim yosel etzadikim, they're closer to the aleph. Lefamim krovim yosel lebeinanim, close to the mem. Lefamim chas shalom lereshoim, to the tav. So now we understand the relativity theory, as we mentioned before, the Gemara in Yevamos of Svivav Nishar El Ma'od. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is medagdek with these more than he's medagdek the others. And as we said before, Makadish Yisish Al Menashe, there could be a Hira Tshuva that makes a person into a tzaddik, but that's only relative to a Rasha. Now, we just commemorated less than a week ago Lag BaOmer, and we spoke about Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. And in the Zohar, Omar Rabbi Shimon, Vabariach Atichon B'toch HaKroshim Mavriach Min HaKotza LaKotza Dohu Yaakov Kadisha Shlema. So according to the Zohar, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai tells us that Yaakov symbolizes this Briach HaKotza, this Briach HaTichon, that links together all the Kroshim of the Mishkan. And the Baal HaTanya in his Likutei Amorim explains that Yaakov Avinu is the Midah of Emes that connects Min HaKotza LaKotza, Kol Echad Oved Es Hashem Lefi Madrigoso, which represents the integration of all people on the spectrum, each relative to his own Madriga serves Hashem. Bring them all together, that's the Briach HaTichon. And what it means is that a person who may be a Beinoni and he's not capable of being Ma'ora, the Avas Hashem, the Yiras Hashem, except during the moments of Tefillah. And it's true that as far as Tzaddikim are concerned, who serve Hashem with Yira and Ava the whole day, you know, that's not called an avodas emes, because emes is something that's chay v'kayim li'olam, svas emes tikon ad. But the beinanim, who don't have the yira and the ava, except during the time of tefillah, nevertheless, according to them, madrega, relative to them, the madrega, the beinanim, their avoda is an avoda shel emes. He says, the Likutei Tanya of the Baal HaTanya, and we'll quote his language in Likutei Amorim, he says, Ki hine midas emes hi midoso shel Yaakov, nikreis b'riach hatichon, u'mavriach min hakotze l'kotze, nirom hamalos u'madregos, at sof kol dargin, u'b'chol mailu madrega mavriach, toch nikuda ha'emtza'it. So everything's sort of like sewn together through the middle. Shinekudas ubechinas midas emes inachlo beli mitzorim ein lashir lamala ad ruma malos v'chol hamadregos shalomata heim ka'ayin l'gabi malos madregos shalomala mehem. Notice this concept, this abstract concept of the Baal HaTanya, and this is going to really shed a light on this chosomo Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes, or the Midah of Yaakov is the Midah of Emes, is the Briach Min HaKotze LaKotze. It goes from one extreme to the other extreme. It sews all Jews together, threads them together, weaves them together. And all Doros, all generations. The earlier generations were Tzadikim Gemurim. They were the Aleph of Emes. The middle generations were the Beinonim. And they were the Mem of Emes. And the last generations, as Ikfas Mashicha, is the Tuf of Emes. And the absolute integration of all these together into one whole, that's the Briach HaTichon, that's Yaakov Avinu, that's the Emes of Yaakov. And Reb Chaim Vital once, and this is recorded in the Sforim, he asked his Rebbe the Ari, Pamach HaShalti Lamori, he writes, this is Reb Chaim Vital asking his Rebbe the Ari, Eich Hoya Omer Li, he says, can you tell me, Rebbe, that my nefesh is on a high level? If you take the lowest of the earlier generations, I don't even reach his heel. The Omeli, and he answered me, Dalucha ki ein gedulas hanefesh tluya kifi maisa odom rak fi azman vador. Maisa kotem mi'od b'dor hazeh shokul keneged kama v'kama mitzvus gedola shebedoros hakodmonin. Ki b'gedoros elu in our doors, he says, ha'klipa goveres mi'od mod lein kates. Mashen ki b'doros harishonim. V'ilu ha'yisa b'doros harishonim ha'ya masecha v'chach masecha nifloim mi'kama tzadikim harishonim. Had you been living in the earlier generations, you would supersede some of the chachomim and the tzadikim of the earlier generations. But we see clearly, and that's the main point, that there's something called a chain of generations. And there's a Briach HaTichon that connects all these generations. That's the Emes, that's the Chosom HaShal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKotze HaKotze, to judge each generation according to its Bechina, its relative status of Emes. Everything is relative. In our generation, in Ikfas of the Mashicha, with our tremendous challenges, even a Maisa Katan is considered as an Avodas Hashem of the Avod of Emes. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Medrash takes Emes. He takes an Eitzah from the Malachim. Should we create man? Should we not create man? And Emes says, Al Yivra Adam Shukulo Shkarim. And what that means is that since the Chosem of Emes is the Mavriach HaKotze LaKotze B'chol Olamos, that means that when there's Emes in Shamayim, amongst the Malachi Ashores in their celestial worlds, where there's no Yetzirah, they're the Bechin of Aleph of Emes. And everyone has to match up to the Aleph. And all judgment is going to be B'chut HaSara. And therefore it makes sense that the meat of Emes as a Malach's meat of Emes would say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, man is full of Sheker, he doesn't measure up to the Aleph of our infinite worlds without the Yetzahara of Shamayim, of Malach Asharis. However, our Mishnah says, Al Todin is Chaver Tshkat Gimakomo. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes in the Medrash, he takes Emes, Hishlichol La'aretz. And he says the following, you know what? Get off your high celestial sphere. Come down and judge man l'fi makomo, relative to his place down on Eretz, where there is a Yetzahara. And in this way, you'll begin to reveal the Os Tuf. You won't be totally focused exclusively on the Aleph, which is, of course, the natural personification of the world of Malach Yashores is Os Aleph, is no Yetzirah. But take a look at the word Emes in its totality. Aleph Mem Tov is the Mavriach Min HaKotze LaKotze. It includes the Tov, not just the Aleph. It includes the Rishoyim. When you begin to understand that, when you begin to appreciate the tremendous challenges down on this earth that man faces, insofar as the Yetzirah's power is concerned, you begin to appreciate that at the end of the day, man should be created. Because man's tafkid, his holy mission in this world, is to fight this constant battle against the amazing, powerful forces of the Yetzirah. And if he falls, chas v'shalom, into the hands, the clutches of the Yetzirah, he has a tikkun of tshuva. So this is what the Emes of the Malachi Ashois has to understand. And therefore, when the Malachi Asharis persevere, they tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tala Emes Min Ha'aretz. It means, take the Emes of Midas Emes, which belongs to Malachi Asharis, and bring it back to Shamayim. That's where it's covered, is up in Shamayim. There are no Rishayim over there. But as far as the Emes down on earth, that's a different kind of an Emes. That's the Emes of Chosom Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Emes of the Aretz. And that's where the Emes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Titzmach, in the Aretz, down on earth, where mortal man, finite, limited, faces all the impediments and the barriers and the challenges, the Yetzer Hara. That's where Emes has to be, not in Shamayim amongst the Malachi Asharis, but down in Aretz. And therefore, Emes me Eretz Titzmach. It should come out of the Eretz. And the Emes now is made up of three letters, not just the Aleph. It's made up and it indicates the relativity theory of Din. And then, when it says that during the first 3 hours of the day, Torah dichsiv ve'emes ena kodesh poch osu lefnim mishus ha-din, what this means is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu dedicates in his morning hours, his wee hours of the morning, the 3 hours, to learning Torah in Shamayim, in the Mesifta of Shamayim, the Mesifta de Rakia, there Torah is called Emes. Which Emes? The Emes of Shamayim. That's not a good time for compassion and for flexibility. That's not a good time for a relative judgment. That's the judgment up at Shamayim, which is the Os Aleph. Everyone is meant to live up to the Os Aleph without the excuses of the Yetzer Hara challenging him. The first 3 hours of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Osek in the Torah and Shamayim. He's not willing. There's no flexibility of it's pure Mishras Adin. There's no Lifnei Mishras Adin. But then we get to the second set of 3 hours, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yoshev Adonis Kol HaOlam. Ah, now he's judging man. Al Todnis Chaverchat Shetagilim Komo. Now we get to the relativity theory. Now we get to the Emes that has not only an Aleph on the highest standards of Shemayim, but also has a Mem and a Tav. And Kevin Shirosh and Ischayev HaOlam Kloya Omed Mikisei Adin VYoshev Al Kisei Rachmim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands that within the perspective relative to Emes and Shemayim, the people do not deserve any flexibility, that Emes in Shamayim doesn't tolerate Lifnei Mishras Adin. The world has to be destroyed. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaves the world of the Mesifta Derekia of the Torah, and now he enters into the world of Dan Al Kisei HaKovod, Kisei HaRachamim. Now he's down in the Emes of Rachamim, the Emes that knows the relativity theory, that not everyone is equal, that everyone should be judged by the same standards, not everyone can live up to the same bar. And therefore, there's no contradiction here between the Midas HaEmes of Din and the Midas HaEmes of Rachamim. The Midas HaEmes of Din is the Midah of Shamayim, the Midah that knows no toleration, that expects all of man without of Yetzer Hara to live up to the Aleph of Emes, to be judged Kichut HaSaira, like the real tzaddikim, and expected to live up to that. But that's not the Midah of Emes of Yaakov. Titan Emes of Yaakov is the Yaakov of Tiferes, which is an integration of Chesed and Din. It's the relativity theory of Emes. That's the Chosomo Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the Midah with which God judges man. Al Todin is Chaver Shetagilim Koma, the relativity theory. There's an admixture of Chesed. It's not pure Din. And then we go on to explain, as we said before, we don't have to review all the details, that Yaakov Avinu, in order to guarantee that Elio HaNovi will play his role, and that man will be judged with the Midah of Rachamim, with the Teferis of Yaakov. Yaakov has to take 5 vavs away, steal and rob him from Elio, with an Iravon, a commitment that Elio is now not the complete, perfect Midah of Emes that belongs to Shamayim, that zealous Kanoi, but that Elio should manifest the Emes of Yaakov Avinu, the Emes of Al Todin is Chavercha, the Emes that allows for the Midah of Tiferes to integrate Chesed and Rachamim, so that man could reach the level in which he can do tshuva, we can be softer with man, we can compromise out of a sense of compassion, and bring about the Geula Shlema Bimheira, the Amenu Amen.